Chesterfield. Chesterfield, the first cigarette in America to give you premium quality in both regular and king size, brings you Dragnet. Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. Here's a robbery detail. A man has been found in the trunk of an automobile. He's been badly beaten and is suffering from shock. Your job, investigate. Here's what the nation's press is at. Either way you have it. Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law to an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, February 18th. It was raining in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Frank Smith, the boss, Fab Brown, chief detective. My name's Friday. It was 10:48 p.m. when I got back to the car.
Was he in?
No, he's the guy who gave us a big story about carrying a lunch bucket, always home by 9 o'clock.
Yeah. There was a car while you were out. Someone locked in a car truck. We better roll on it.
Yeah.
What do you think you're about to inform us?
Well, I don't know. It's raining. He's holed up someplace. He's not on the street.
He's your boy, Joe. You ever come up with anything worthwhile?
Well,
you
too. Got to be an awful wife now. I can't stay sober long enough. Always talking about joining AA, but he never seems to get around to it.
Too bad. Good, good if you give him a chance. If you want to be helped, they're the ones who can do it.
Well, I'll try to catch him in the morning, huh? It's getting late. I'm tired.
Yeah, I could use some sleep. Hey, when we see this guy, you think he'll be able to give us anything?
I don't know. Can't be. He might be able to come up with something.
Doesn't figure, Joe. Nice job they pulled. There's not a rebel in town on us. Not even a close identification.
Well, we don't turn him soon. It's going to be out of our hands. He's something for homicide to work on.
You think of this trunk deal might be the same one?
Well, if it's them, it makes number 10 for him. The old man will clean his head off in the morning.
Still won't help his result. He'll be sipping milk all day.
He just graduated the soft-boiled egg. This thing will put him right back on the sippy diet.
Poor old idiot.
Thieves and ulcers. He just can't win. Well, I must see it up there, Frank. Guy waving the radio car.
Hell yeah. There's 184 just coming in, too.
Yeah. Well, let's sit here. You want to get out my sight?
Yeah.
Corner,
I'll get you. I'm the one to call.
Didn't take you long to get here.
I'll show you right around here.
Yes.
All right, Joe. Frank.
All right.
Are you the police officer, too?
Yes, sir. My name's Friday. It's my partner, Frank Smith.
Oh, I do. I'm Carl Miller. I own the drugstore on the corner. I'm the one who found the car, you know.
Yes, sir. If you'd show us the car.
Sure thing. Around this way. I'm going way back from Mrs. Dalton's. Loaded some college dough for a baby. That's his car. I thought I heard something.
Yes, sir.
I walked by, then I got to thinking that maybe something might be wrong. For one time, I looked in the car, but I couldn't see anything.
Yeah?
Well, I figured that maybe it might be my imagination. You know, maybe something else. And I heard this voice. It sounded like it was coming from the trunk. I tried to get it open, but it was locked. And that's when I called you.
Is this?
Yes, sir. Put your ear against the trunk. You're probably hearing.
Yeah, let me see. Let's go right in, Al. Can we get this thing open, huh? Well, there's something to fire open.
Yeah.
Why don't you leave your car, Al?
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe there's something in here. I'll look.
No, sir. Please don't touch the car.
What?
Don't touch the car, sir.
Hey, sure. You want to look for fingerprints? Should have thought of it myself. I'll check my door. Should have something in there.
All right, fine, Al.
Yeah.
Want to see if you got anything in your trunk?
Yeah, I'll check it.
Fine.
Ooh. Ooh. All right, sir. We're police officers. We'll get you out.
Same one, sir, Joe. Yeah, looks like I'm saying them all.
Figure.
I don't know. Yeah. very much.
Yes, go ahead, officer. Go like this. Oh, you already got it open?
Yes, sir, we did.
A little bitty screwdriver probably wouldn't have worked anyway.
Oh, thank you anyway, sir.
Sure thing. Anything else I can do for you?
No, sir, it's all right.
Nothing you need, nothing at all?
Well, not unless you got a good remedy for ulcers. 11:01 p.m. The ambulance arrived and took the victim to Georgia Street's Eating Hospital. Frank and I followed in our car. This was the tenth in a series of kidnappings in which the suspects obtained cars to use in armed robberies. After beating the victims, they locked them in the trunk of the car, and after completion of the robberies, they abandoned the automobile with the victims tied and gagged in the trunk. Although to date none of the victims had been killed, we knew it was only a matter of time until the suspects kidnapped somebody who would be incapable of standing the treatment, and we'd not only have a robbery, but a murder to deal with. The holdups had been going on for a period of 6 weeks. Frank and I followed up what leads we could, but they brought us nothing. None of the victims could describe the suspects other than to tell us they were male, white Americans, and that one of them spoke with a southern drawl. 11:17 p.m., we arrived at the hospital. The victim had been placed in treatment room number 3. Dr. George Hall was treating him. Frank and I went into the room to talk to the doctor.
Hi, Joe. Frank, Doc.
Hi, Danny.
How is he?
Oh, it's all right. Suffering from shock. Got a nasty abrasion on his right cheek. I gave him a sedative, quiet him down. He'll be okay in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him?
I'm a trunk bandage again.
Vicious bunch.
You going to release him, Doc?
Yeah, I'll be all right in 15 or 20 minutes. You know his name? I want to make out his treatment card.
No, he passed out. I'll look forward to getting
He's coming around now.
Just relax, take it easy. Here, see if you can sit up here on the edge of the table. Joe?
Yeah,
Doc. You want to pull the glass of water cups over there on the wall?
Yeah, sure.
I'll get you some water, sir.
That's it.
Now, just sit quiet.
Easy.
There you are, sir.
Oh, thanks.
Quarter to 8. Maid left my wife. Said we were out of coffee. We were having a late dinner, so while she finished fixing it, I went out to get some.
Yeah.
I got down to Pico and Union. Signal was working. Stop. I pulled up. There were two guys standing in the safety zone. You know, like they were waiting for a streetcar.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the time when a lousy thing happened to stand out in the rain waiting for a streetcar.
Yes, right ahead.
Well, the next thing I knew, one of them opened the door up in front. When they opened the door, I figured that maybe it was somebody that knew me. It was dark, you know. Couldn't see too well. The other one opened the back door and got right in the car. I knew darn soon I didn't know these guys.
Sir?
Well, the fellow in front had a gun. Pointed it right at me. Looked like a cannon. Biggest gun I ever saw. Said I was scared.
Yes.
Told me to pull up the curb. I did.
What happened then?
Told me to get in the back seat. I told them they could take my money, car, whatever they wanted. Just let me go. And the guy in the back told me to shut up and get back there with him. I asked him again to let go. Told him I wouldn't say anything. Said if they just let me go, I wouldn't tell anyone. I was scared, you know.
Yes, we understand.
Guy in the front got a real wild look in his eye. Looked like he was crazy. I tried to get out of the car. He hit me. Side of the head with that gun. Then he grabbed me, threw me in the back seat. Hauled me right over the front. Just dumped me on the floor in the back.
Why'd you do that?
Oh, nothing. I just laid there. Figured that maybe they'd think I was out cold in the lung.
Then what happened?
Well, the guy in the back took a roll of adhesive tape out of his pocket, wrapped around my wrist and ankles.
Well, what'd they do then, sir?
Well, they still thought I was knocked out. The guy in the front said, get me out of the car. Big fellow opened the door, lifted me out, picked me up like a sack of potatoes. The guy with a gun ran around, opened the trunk, and they threw me in. One of my legs was over the bumper, and the big guy grabbed it and twisted it so it had fit in the trunk. Almost died, but I didn't dare let him know it wasn't out.
Mm-hmm. And after that?
But he locked the car and drove away. Must have drove for a while and they stopped.
Mm-hmm. You got any idea how long they drove, sir? How far?
No. I couldn't see anything. Couldn't hear much. Just a little mumbling. I know they stopped the gas station, though.
How's that, sir?
Well, right after we stopped, I heard one of them yell at somebody. I couldn't tell what he was yelling, but then a little while, I heard somebody come back, take the gas cap off of the tank. And I heard the gas go in the tank, right in front of the trunk.
Gotcha.
Well, after the guy that put the cap back on the tank, I heard one of the guys say something about stick-up.
Why you were stopped? Did you try to let the gas station attendant know that you were in the trunk?
Oh, sure. And I tried to kick the trunk, but the way they twisted my leg put me in, I couldn't move. They gagged me, too. Put a big piece of adhesive tape over my mouth. Well, sir, I tried to let the guy know. I just couldn't do it.
You said that you heard one of them say, this is a stick-up.
Yeah. Those were the words you used, too. This is a stick-up.
Why don't you go ahead, sir?
Well, there was some quiet talking after that. I couldn't tell what was going on, and they drove away again.
You have no idea where this gas station was.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm being bounced around that trunk. My head was where they hit me. I know they turned some corners, but I couldn't even guess where the station might be.
Well, that's just what happened there.
Well, same thing. They'd drive for a while and they'd stop. They'd get out of the car, then come back, we'd start to drive again. Well, finally, they parked. I waited for them to come back. They didn't. I tried to get the gag off my mouth like he'd yell for help. Rubbed my face against the spare tire and got loose. Then I yelled, kicked my feet against the trunk. I just about given up when you found me. I was sure I was through. It's getting hard to breathe in there.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
No, you can't. Until you've been locked in the trunk. Nobody can imagine that.
This is Tramp's kidnapping, the 23rd robbery.
When are you two going to get off the dime and bring those guys in?
Oh, do everything we can, Skipper, you know that.
And it's not enough. I know you guys have been beating your heads against the wall on this thing, but the corner bracket's on my back, and we've got to break it.
We've contacted all our informants. We've run on every lead that's turned up. They all go to the same place.
No way. I'm going to retrieve every excuse I can. I'm not going to try to sell them anymore. I don't think he'd buy them. The guys that are pulling these jobs are flesh and blood. They eat and sleep. Somebody in town knows them. They're not trying to, but it's fine. These guys aren't the brainiest ones in the world. If they were, they wouldn't be getting the cars the way they do.
Well, yeah, that's bigger.
How about the car? Find anything?
I called Leighton Prince. They said the car was driving up to work on it. Couldn't tell if anyone was. Said he called back.
Mm-hmm. I've been going over their crime reports. Maybe got an idea.
Yeah.
The way it looks, if they got the cars in one area, pull the jobs in the same area. Could be that they live in that area.
Makes sense.
They've been working inside of 30 square blocks, feet down to Hill, 7th to Pico. You got a description on them. Talk to the desk clerks at every hotel and boarding house in the area. Robbery, didn't he? Yeah, he's here. See you, sir.
Thanks, Kevin. This guy. Hey, Eddie.
Hmm?
You bet. That's the way it goes sometimes. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
Bergman?
Yeah, he just finished the car. It's clean. Not a thing on it.
Galloway says he hasn't heard from you for the past 6 weeks.
That's how long these robberies have been going on. You look awful good for them.
So I maybe skipped town. I was going to report up here. I got a job now. I'm trying to go straight.
How about the job they got you for now?
I needed a little extra dough. You know, some came up.
I read about those jobs in L.A. I figured it might work for me.
Thought maybe you'd figure it was the same guy.
Yeah, we do.
You got it all wrong. Sure, you got me nailed for this one, but that's all. I had nothing to do with him in L.A.
Witnesses seem to think otherwise.
They tell you, witnesses are full of cheese. I didn't have anything to do with him. I'm sorry, boys. You got me tagged for a job up here. Nothing else.
How'd you figure that?
Well, how long did you say those jokers been working in L.A.?
About 6 weeks.
Then you got nothing on me.
Huh.
Sure, I haven't left town for a month and a half, and I can prove it.
Jack Webster told us that he's been registered at a hotel on Geary Street for the past month and a half. Further, he said that he's been working in a foundry in South San Francisco for the same period of time. We checked both of the places out and found that he was telling the truth. He was filed out in San Francisco for grand theft auto and kidnapping. Sunday, February 22nd, we arrived back in Los Angeles, took our witnesses to their homes, and checked into the office. We called Captain Gideon and found that there'd been no new developments in the case. Frank and I went home to get some sleep. Monday morning, 7:45 a.m., we signed into the office. We picked up the flyers and started to canvass the area where we thought the holdup men were living. During the first day, we were able to check out 28 places. Tuesday, the 24th, it started to rain again. At 8:30 a.m., we started to canvass the rest of the hotels, rooming houses, and boarding houses in the area. For 3 days, we talked to the day and the night clerk in each place. We left each of them a flyer with the description of the men and our cards, asking them to call us if anyone answering the description should register at their particular place. For 3 days, it rained. Saturday, February 28th.
Think it'll ever stop, Joe?
As soon as yet.
Like the guys we want to drop off the face of the earth, nobody's seen or heard of them. I never realized there were so many hotels in L.A.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Well, let's try this one.
All right.
Here's something you want?
We're police officers, sir. Here's our ID.
What's that?
Police officers.
Oh, police.
That's right, sir.
Yeah, police. Well, what do you want?
We'd like to know if you got anyone here who answers these descriptions.
Like this, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's kind of hard to say. If you had a picture of them, it might help.
I'm sorry, sir. We don't have a picture, just that description.
See, it could be the fellas in 4A's. They still fit what it says here. Yeah, I bet it's them. I knew we should have called you fellas about.
Sir?
See, the day before yesterday, and you see the girl, you know, cleans up. She's taking care of the room. She said that she opened the closet. She saw a gun laying on the shelf. You know, right out in the open.
Did you report that to police?
Huh? What'd you say?
Did you report it to the police?
Oh, no. No, I didn't. You see, I figured that, you know, live and let live. As long as it didn't cause me any trouble, I wasn't about to cause any. He and me talked about whether we should let you know, but then we decided against it. I didn't see none, we should have.
What did you tell us when you saw them last, sir?
Oh, well, a couple of hours ago.
They registered here?
Yeah, Andy Scott and Ed Willis. They're up in room 4A. Ain't there now, though. There's the key. Well, I'll be darned. The key ain't there. Well, I guess you're upset. I must have given the key and didn't remember.
That's room 408, she said.
What'd she
say? I said that's room 408.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 408, the fourth floor. They're up there now.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, what are you wanted for? The dangerous criminals?
Well, we don't know, sir.
Well, be careful, you know. We wouldn't want anything to happen.
Yes, sir. Here, I'll get the bus. What do you think, Joe?
I don't know. Those are our boys. Some elevator.
Yeah.
I told him 100 times.
Stand still. You told him what?
That we should have left. get out of this lousy town, going back home.
Yeah, all right, let's go.
Back in a can this time, we'll never get out of him and his big ideas. Smart guy, old Ed, the big brain. Try to tell him.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll make it this time. You'll have a lot of time to convince him.
The story you have just heard was true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. On 17th, trial was held in Superior Court, Department 87, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial. Andrew J. Scott and Edward F. Winters were tried and convicted on 12 counts of robbery in the first degree and 10 counts of kidnapping for the purposes of robbery. They are now serving their terms in the state penitentiary. A hold has been placed on them in the event of parole by the state of Arkansas. First-degree robbery is punishable by imprisonment in the state penitentiary for from 5 years to life for each count. In the case of Scott and Winters, these sentences are to run consecutively.